Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Friday, April 11th, 2014. Another interesting day in the markets, and I think Monday will be even more so. Let's take a peek at what gold and silver has on today. Gold, $1,319. We had a high of $1,325. Should be much higher, but basically $1,319. Silver down 7 cents at $20.07. Platinum down three at $1,459. Palladium finally over $800 plus 12 at $806. You have the USDX was up a little bit, 0.05 at 79.49, and crude oil, not a lot of change there, still at 103.37. But the paper markets today certainly are having, they're having a very bad week. And you have the Dow. Make sure I have my updated numbers here, the numbers trickling through. The NASDAQ finally fell below 4,000, barely, just by a few points. The S&P also down big today. The Dow fell more than 2% on the week. But for today, we're looking at the Dow down 143 points at 16,026. I think with all the news and everything that's happening around the world, I don't think anybody wanted to carry anything through the weekend. And so you saw a little another decline today. The NASDAQ was down 54 points, 39.99. Sounds like a sales special, 39.99.73. Down 54 points at 1.33%. The S&P was down 17 points, almost a full percent at 18.15, and the 10-year yield continues to drop 0.01 at 2.62%. So interesting that we've had these numbers. The market is, certainly is setting up a trend on the day, and we had started out with J.P. Morgan. Oh, good afternoon, Al.
Oh, now you finally remember that I'm here, huh, Melody? You were getting ready to go off and just do the whole program without me.
Well, one of these days.
Yeah, I figured that. I've been waiting for it.
But I'm pleased you uh-huh. show up this week, even after with your illness. So you know we. Today, J.P. Morgan Chase, they're getting blamed today for dragging all the bank stocks lower in afternoon trading. And a lot of the major banks report their earnings next week. You had the three indexes were lower. The technology stocks were still down another day. And this is the worst for the NASDAQ since 2011. And J.P. Morgan, they fell $1.79 or 3% to $55.61. They missed their estimates. The nation's biggest bank by assets said its earnings fell 20% in the first quarter as revenue from bond trading and mortgage lending fell. So that's pretty interesting. J.P. Morgan Chase is just getting hammered. Poor Jamie Dimon. I'm waiting for him to retire soon or for him to get out of there. But, he is, does it really matter? I mean,
yeah, it matters. Yeah, it matters at least on a level. It's not just a question of getting out. I mean, the guy's got more money than he could ever possibly need. And if he can get away with all everything that he's accumulated up until now, he's got to say this is a victory. I'd like to see him get out in a more punitive manner.
Well, he's just one of the elite, along with the many, many others that, truly do control and they're in there. They have these beliefs and their followings and so it's,
and their psychological disabilities.
Hmm.
All right. They are frequently, they've done studies on this. The people that rise to positions of superior power tend to be psychopaths. They are people who don't really care about other people, don't have any sensitivity to it. The idea that they're doing things that may hurt other people doesn't seem to be something they're able to comprehend. Except insofar as if they get caught, they know they'll be punished. They get understand that, but they don't have any empathy for other people.
Yeah, but they're still part of the Klan. They're still part of the elite. And, of course, you have J.P. Morgan along with the other, major banks, Goldman Sachs, and, the list of five and six that are there. They have a plan. They have an agenda. They're allowed to do whatever they want to do. And you're right. They are psychopaths. A program I saw one time, there was a banker, and it was a program, wasn't real life, but it's true. He says, we're not smarter than anyone else. We're not brilliant. He says, we're just good salespeople.
Yeah.
And a good salesperson does have to have those traits. You can't. A truly good salesperson is not an honest salesperson, and he has to weave a little bit of mistruth in with his pitch. And
I knew a woman 20 years ago who was the finest salesperson I've ever met. She could sell things to people that I couldn't sell. If I threatened to douse myself in gasoline and set fire to myself, they wouldn't buy from me. She could sell to anybody. She could sell, literally anything. And the reason she was such an effective salesperson is she had absolutely no concept of the difference between truth and lies. And I tried to explain this to her, and she just looked at me. It was like talking to the RCA Victor dog. When it cocks its head, if you remember the old RCA Victor Victrola ads, some of you might recall them. The dog is there listening to his master's voice, not quite getting it, but the dog is listening but not quite comprehending. It was like that when I tried to explain the difference between truth and lies. For her, the whole idea was simply to find out what it was that the prospect wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. And tell them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen... It was just, it was bizarre, but it's exactly what you're talking about. She was a superb saleswoman or salesperson precisely because she had no concept of right and wrong, truth or lies. It was bizarre.
But that truly makes a good salesperson. And, you know, we laugh about used car salesmen. You know, we all see they're shady and they're, you know, their dirty laundry and so forth. But, you know, it, when it comes to a banker, it just doesn't seem, but yeah, they're all the same.
Well, you know, it's not true that all are the same. It's not, I don't want to condemn all salesmen as fitting into the role, into the realm of psychopaths. But if you're really going to succeed in that profession, that tends to be, my understanding is that tends to be common denominator for the great successes. And it's pretty interesting. I mean, it's interesting even from a biblical standpoint, where they talk about the prince of this world, Satan. Right? On one level, if this world is under his control, it shouldn't be surprising that those people who are most effective at lying would also be the ones that are most likely to do well and succeed to surprising degrees. And we see it in politics. We see it in law. We see it in business. And it's unfortunate, and it's, you know, on one level sad. On the other hand, if you believe in the good Lord, another one of you sit back and tell these people, just wait. You're going to get yours. You may get your third private jet airplane before you get yours, but you're going to get yours. So I don't know what to say about it. I don't know what to do about it. I observe it, however.
Well, General Motors today, their shares sank to a 10-month low today after the S&P raised out that the company's credit rating would be restored to investment grade this year. So their shares dropped to a low of 31.82, down 4%. In the afternoon trading. It was the first time the shares had dropped below their 2010 initial public offering. And, of course, we certainly know that the bad news has been piling up for GM. And but I guess they have more recalls, small cars, the Chevrolet Cobalts and the Saturn Ions. And so they're not doing too healthy. And also the wholesale prices in the U.S., they rose in March, as the cost of services climbed by the most in 4 years. And, of course, we've seen commodities stagnate. The 0.5% advance in the PPI index was the biggest since June and followed a 0.1% decrease in the prior month. Rising prices at clothing and jewelry retailers and food wholesalers accounted for much of the jump in services. And certainly energy, I think, you know, energy's sort of retreated at that point in time, but again, we're seeing it rebound as we see oil prices beginning to rise. Consumer confidence today, that climbed this month to the highest level since July.
Consumer confidence is up this month?
Consumer confidence, yes. This is from the Thomson Reuters, University of Michigan. The preliminary April sentiment index rose to 82.6 from 80 a month earlier. And this is and the reason they give is a sign of an improving job market is lifting Americans' spirits.
Well, I don't know. The whole place is crazy. What do you say? You try to present information that makes the nut house rational, and you try to perceive underlying themes and forces, and try to explain them and try to make them rational. And I'm not sure that there's reason really behind any of this, Melody, and I guess it is, but it's not good reason. It's the reason of psychopaths, the reason of let's get ours and to heck with everybody else. That would seem to be the reason, a kind of secretive reason among a relative handful, but the people understand the reason. I guess it all makes perfect sense to them.
Well, if they talk about the way I look at it, consumer confidence, and if you look at the consumers anymore in this day and age, I mean, what do they really know? they're like, you know, 8 years behind the eight ball, you know, because you know, but this country needs them. Our economy is based on the consumer. And they will, you know, continue to.
And how long can that last? How can the economy, you know, this is just one of the things where you sit back and say, the world has to be somewhat insane We have accepted the idea that we can live in a consumer-based economy. But essentially, what that means is we will survive and even prosper insofar as we consume, not insofar as we produce, insofar as we consume. And it's just irrational. It's just so fundamentally wrong. If you're not going to work, you don't get to eat. That's the way the real world is. And we have a consumer-based economy that operates on the presumption that somehow we can prosper and eat all we want, even if we don't grow any food. It can't be that way. It has been that way for, who knows, 40 years now anyway, probably since we turned into, I don't know when they began to describe this as a consumer-based economy. But I'll bet that if we researched it, you'd find out that that description began to apply somewhere around the same time that the dollar became completely fiat back in 1971. I have a suspicion. It may not be correct, but I have a suspicion that if you did the research on it a little bit, it wouldn't take too long. We'll look it up. I'll see if I can find out for Monday. When did the idea of consumerism take hold? It can't be that way. You have to, and certainly what it means is if we are going to live in a consumer-based economy, it means that we regard consumers as more important than producers, which is perhaps part of the reason why we shipped many of our jobs to foreign countries. All we need is people who eat. We don't need people who grow. We don't need farmers. All we need is people who drive. We don't need people who make automobiles or computers or whatever. We just consume things. We don't produce them. Once you adopt that mentality, the only way you can consume more than you produce, and that's what a consumer-based economy is finally about. We will consume more than we produce. You either do it by disposing of your savings. You have to spend your savings in order to keep on consuming even though you're not producing, or you have to borrow and go deeper and deeper and deeper into debt, which is exactly what we've been doing. We've been going deeper into debt so we can consume more than we produce. And anyone with an IQ over 90 can see this is not going to last forever. It can't. There's going to be a day of reckoning, and when that day comes, a lot of consumers are going to find themselves consumed.
Yesterday, the CEO of Amazon, Jeff Bezos, he has a pay-to-quit program. Mm-hmm. And he's offering $5,000 to warehouse employees to quit their jobs. And they're even adding workers, and they're also adding location. But he's saying that he will pay them $5,000 to quit if they don't want to be there. He says it's in an effort to make sure that the internet retailers' employees really want to be there. It's to encourage folks to take a moment and to think about what they really want. In the long run, an employee staying somewhere they don't want to be is unhealthy for the employee or company. And he made it under the headline, "Please don't take this offer," but he will offer to pay its associates to quit once a year. They have experimented with this program in recent years, and they have rolled it out to, they have 40,000 warehouse employees as of January. So they're actually offering newer employees an offer of $2,000 to quit. The plan is to increase that offer by 1,000 each year until it reaches 5,000. Fewer than 10% of the employees who got the offer took it and left the company. So, interesting.
I think it's brilliant. It's daring. It's audacious. There's somebody who really cares about their corporation, about their business. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. Unless they're trying to emulate the government. The government has welfare programs right now where they'll pay you $35,000, $40,000, as much as $60,000 in Hawaii. Just kick back.
Well, look at it this way. Let's look at it this way. If he has 10% that's taken the offer, how do we really know he's replacing them? It's a great way to get rid of employees without actually firing them and laying them off. Yeah. We really don't know if he's hiring new ones. And he,
yeah,
you know,
he probably is.
There's also new government incentives that if you hire some certain amount of people or a certain type of person, like a veteran or something like that, you get big tax benefits. So, you know, there's probably a reason behind his madness.
I think his reason, I think his reason is probably, I don't see anything particularly conspiratorial in his rationale.
No, but
I'd say this. If he had employees, let's suppose he had employees that were alcoholics, drug addicts. I'll bet you they'd take the dollars, that $5,000, to go out and get themselves, get high, get stoned, get whatever. And it'd be a good way to get rid of them. The people who take that deal are probably the last people you really need in the corporation. We are deep into our commercial announcement time. We've got a break. Stop talking. Let Frank run the commercials. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
I believe we have a caller. Let's go right to the caller.
Yep.
Oh, Jim.
Yeah,
oh, Jim, what's up?
I'm lining things up a little bit. You mentioned about the salespeople who lie. I knew two women who were pathological liars. One was a salesperson, one wasn't. But it's amazing how they justify what they say. They never break promises. They change their mind. They never lie. They just say what comes first to their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Sticks and stones can break my bones. Words never harm me. I didn't hurt anybody. I don't do anything to them. That's the one thing which kind of blew my mind. There are a few other examples like that. Also, several things have been really kind of bugging me. During the 80s, I saw a raft of good journalism people, and I was loosely associated with the mainstream press at that time. A lot of them quit because they just couldn't hack it anymore. I know two MDs who've handed in their medical license because they couldn't hack it anymore. A raft of teachers quit in the 80s and the 90s. I knew one very good mainline Protestant denomination preacher who, I mean, he was a rising star within the denomination, so to speak. He quit. He weighed twice what he weighed when he went into the ministry. He was addicted to prescription nerve pills because he had to sign an arrangement called a yellow dog contract that he would never speak out against the church, national, always uphold their position. The national went one way and his congregation wanted to go the other, and the stress was killing him. So he just quit out of nowhere. But it's just as if lying has permeated our whole culture. Now, when I was a kid, my parents told me, you have to seek the truth, because if not, many well-paid liars will line up to lie to you. But it just utterly amazes me. Now, good salesmen who are honest know that the main thing that they need to do is beat the drums, beat the bushes, find customers, not lie to the ones they find. And I've known a bunch of them, too. So if you have a good salesman, you ask yourself why. Is it because they lie or not? But lying has so permeated our culture that it really, it's just downright scary. So,
yeah,
folks, the first thing which I do when I hear things is I think, yeah, right. And it takes me a long time to get over that. When I know somebody, it takes me a long time to trust now. But the lying that has permeated our culture, just to understand that in a lot of cases, there's a greater chance for lying than not. And I give Melody credit. I really do.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am. And I complain about you.
I said, are you telling the truth?
Yes, ma'am. I am. Alfred, did I ever tell you how I met Melody?
Nope.
Pastor Butch had a shindig in Somersville in 09. I think I was hanging out maybe behind the table in front, I don't know. And there's this lady by the name of Joyce. Most people would recognize her. And she's talking to this lady beside me. And I heard the lady beside me says, oh, good heavens, I know that voice. That's Melody. Mm-hmm. Oh, Alfred, it was love at first sight. On her table, she had two bowls of candy.
Yeah, we've talked about that in the past. We have talked about you took an excessive amount of candy. And I think we were wondering when you were going to replace whatever it was, the excess that you'd taken. I think it was only one or two per person, and you took a couple. I think you took six or eight, didn't you?
Well, just from sitting there and listening to her talking to people, she, in person, is just the same as she is on the radio. No act, no facade to detect, no guile. So it's kind of hard to say that about somebody if you've known them for a long time. But it's true. I'll let you guys be. Thank you again. But just, folks, just understand that the people get away with lying all the time. I'll catch you later. Bye.
Thank you, Jim.
Can you say
something about lying?
I remember, Al, when I was a kid, my mom said, I don't like liars. And if she caught us in a lie, they were allowed to punish us then. And it wasn't by a timeout. It was by the little wooden paddles that we used to buy them for Mother's Day. You could always find at the Walgreens a little paddle with little holes in, and it would have some sort of little saying for your mother or father. Here's a little paddle for when your little one gets out of hand and so forth and whatnot. So, I mean, it was... And now he's right. Jim is right. It's just everybody accepts it. Everybody knows the person is lying. And it's just like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, with your politicians. When was the last time you elected a politician that you didn't know was lying on a regular basis?
Well, I mean, it's more than that. It's not even, it's our media. It's our print news, our media.
What's the inflation rate? What's the unemployment rate? The official notice of those rates and others and scores of others, probably, they're lies. Mm-hmm. What really happened on 9/11? Who's responsible for those buildings collapsing? You know, I mean, there are just endless stream of lies and lies and lies, and they come. And what offends me about them, I don't actually mind being lied to. Right? That doesn't disturb me a lot.
Well, if you're a good liar,
at least give me a lie I could believe in. Stop insulting my intelligence. That irks me. Give me a lie I can believe in. They don't even want to do that. They just, we'll come up with some cock and bull story, and people will go along with it. Everybody will wink and grin, and we go on. I'll tell you a story.
If a person is a good liar, Al, you'll never know he's lying to you.
Well, I don't care if people lie to me on one level, and I'll tell you why.
That's why salespeople
I don't care if people lie to me, Melody. I don't care if people lie to me. It doesn't bother me. Anybody wants to lie to me, feel free. I don't mind. All right, I don't like it, but it doesn't really disturb me. But what I don't want is to lie to you. And I'll tell you why. All right, this is a personal story, but it's an important story to me, and it might even offer some insight to people. My grandmother died and raised me as a child, and she died when I was 20 years old, and I started drinking. I didn't realize at the time what was happening, but in retrospect, I realized when Grandma died, I started drinking. I became an alcoholic, and I was a drunk for 12 years. Heavy duty. But 10 years into that alcoholism, I got into a conflict with my stepfather on one occasion. And he was he'd been a great athlete. He'd played a little professional basketball, had a full scholarship to Purdue for football and basketball, Big Ten ball back prior to World War II, played a little bit of professional basketball after World War II. He was a fantastic athlete. He could do things with his hands that were practically magical. Everybody in the community looked up to him. Everybody admired him. Little town. 3,000 to 5,000 people while I was growing up there. Everybody knew him. He was a local hero and there's that. And I loved that man. I mean, I loved that guy. And we got into a circumstance where my wife and I were having our first child. We had a baby shower over at my folks' place. Everybody, including me, was drunk, except my ex-wife. She never did drink. And I got into a situation with my stepfather where all of a sudden, I just pulled my fist back, and the last thing I could see was his nose. The world just zeroed in, and that was the only thing I could see. Next thing I know, I'm on the ground. I'm face down in a puddle of broken beer bottles and booze bottles. Somebody's on my back. My eyes are closed. Somebody's punching me in the ribs is what I thought it was. It was the old man actually kicking me in the ribs. And I open my eyes, I get up, and I start bawling like a little kid. And I'm thinking to myself, I couldn't even hit the old SOB. But I came to find out what had actually happened. People talk about temporary insanity. I have no recollection of the fight. I heard from other people around there that I've got a great right cross. And I actually broke the old man's nose, and I broke three of his ribs on each side of his chest. I broke six ribs in his nose. And the next day was the finest day in all my life because I realized for the first time, the old man had been riding me for 20 years. He'd been yelling and screaming at me. And as much as I loved that guy, I didn't know that I hated him. And that was part of the reason that alcoholism had persisted. And when I figured out, by God, I hate that son, that SOB. When I got that lie out of my system, it took another 2 years before I stopped drinking, but that was the first big step. I learned that those lies are self-destructive. My ex-wife told me at the time, she went to Al-Anon meetings, and she said, the reason people are drunks is because they want to die. And I thought, why did I want to die? And I figured it out, and I put pieces together. But what I understood is that by lying to myself, I was killing myself. And as soon as I got that lie out of my system, I could begin to kind of resurrect and become, eventually, just took about 2 more years before I actually quit drinking. But that was the first big step. And with that lesson, I learned I don't care how many lies. I learned that lies are self-destructive. I learned that every time I tell a lie, it's like taking a knife and cutting a little chunk out of my wrist. It's not like just slashing your wrist and you're going to bleed to death. No, it's just taking a little cut and a little cut and a little cut, and you tell enough lies and eventually you die. It's self-destructive to lie. And from that point on, you're going to have a very hard time persuading me to lie. You can tell me all lies you want, folks. I don't care. If you want to destroy yourself, lie. But if you want me to destroy myself to lie to you, bye-bye. I'm not going to do that. So I don't know if that's helpful to anyone, that means anything to people, but it means a lot to me. Lies are self-destructive. That's the problem with them. At least they were for me, and I think they probably are for... They might not be for psychopaths. Maybe that's why psychopaths get by with them so easily, but I think the average person pays that price.
And it's funny, I remember a lie was a lie was a lie. It didn't matter. But they started, they began to soften.
Situation.
They made lies acceptable, the little white lie, the little, you know, be nice lie. Don't tell the truth. You know, if you look fat in those jeans, you tell the truth. You tell the truth. And so they watered lies down. And that's how it became, lies have become acceptable.
Lies are us. We start a business. Lies are us.
Lies are us. I'm not saying everybody lies. And
then compelling lies. We could have for the right lie for the right occasion. What do you think we could sell them for, Melody? Lies are us. Think that's something that we could do?
Maybe.
At least invest in. I couldn't do it myself. I can't stand it. All right. But any case, we've got a couple minutes left before we take the break. Let's talk about the Baltic Dry Index. This is something from Andy Hoffman. He says it shouldn't surprise anyone that the Baltic Dry Index has started 2014 by plunging an incredible 50%. Now, the Baltic Dry Index is a measure of how much shipping is taking place in the global economy. It measures how many ships, actual ships, are moving from New York to Hamburg, Germany, or vice versa, or to Peking, or from, you know, not, well, Shanghai to the United States. They track global shipping. Global shipping is down 50% in the first quarter of this year. Andy Hoffman goes on. He says this is the worst start to a year the Baltic Dry Index has ever had, followed closely by 2012. And he goes on. He says, what a shock. The two worst years ever. Just as the global printing press party exploded into the stratosphere and the cartel went hog wild, suppressing paper precious metal prices. The significance of the Baltic Dry Index is that it gives us what is probably a very reliable indicator on the state of global trade. And it suggests, if it's fallen 50% in the first quarter of this year, that suggests that the global economy is near or already in a global recession or perhaps even a depression. And this is the kind of information you kind of factor into your investments, choices, what's going to happen to the economy. Is the economy going to recover? Are we more likely to recover or to go deeper into recession and or depression? And if we can believe the Baltic Dry Index, the answer is we are almost certainly headed toward a deeper recession and or a legitimate overt depression that cannot even be denied. What do you think, Melody? Where are we going? Up or down? Sideways?
Oh, no, I think it's breaking. And I think what we're seeing in the markets is reacting for news that they're not reporting. I don't believe, I think what's happening, we're seeing it in the markets. I think it's more than just a little correction here of 10%. I think this is the beginning. Sure, they might be able to stabilize it for a little bit. Certainly, you see that in any market. It can drop, it can go up, and it can stabilize. But I do believe this is the breaking, and I really do, this is the start. Now, this is an election year, so we know they can do a lot of things during an election year. And I don't think this election year they're going to change that. So it'll even be more difficult, which really leads up for next year, the end of this year and the beginning of next year, once those elections gone and they can no longer. So that the question is, you know, who's going to control what? Is it really what's going on behind the scene going to control, or can they actually, because of an election, control that for the remainder of the year? It's going to be a...
It's entertainment.
It is an entertainment, and people are going to be losing a lot of money.
Well, it won't be entertaining to the people that are losing, that's for sure. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom, and the program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, and I'll bet you already know what the number is, don't you? What's next, Melody?
800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit the website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And we're still carrying the special through the Mint State 63 $5 Liberty gold pieces at the same price. Gold is up. Prices are up on those, but we're still keeping them at $625, including a one-ounce free Silver Eagle 2014. But you can buy, we got a few left. I'm not quite sure the exact inventory we have left at that price, but give us a call at 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
We've got an article here from John Williams at shadowstats.com. John Williams is one of the few people that I regard as a hero. I mentioned this on the program before, but he has done something that's almost spectacular. He's probably had more impact on the world of economics than almost any other theorist, economist in modern times. And he doesn't get credit for this, but all he's done for the last 10 years or so, I don't know how long ago he started this, but he realized that the government was modifying the formulas they used to compute unemployment and inflation and whatever other economic indicators would make people respond in a positive or negative way to the economy. And he realized they were changing the formulas in order to get the results they wanted. They wanted a constantly positive result, so they would change the formulas. If things were down, they'd add 2 points. The formula would be adjusted to add 2 points. And then, oh, turns out, no, we were okay after all. And because he provided that information, he's given us an accurate understanding, or at least a more accurate understanding, of how great a national debt we're really laboring under. We can find out what the real inflation rate is, the real unemployment rate, and it gives us an opportunity to really understand what's happening, and he deserves enormous credit for doing that. Well, here's bullet points from an article he published on the 8th of this month, just 3 days ago, entitled Economic Reality Versus Illusion. And the first bullet point is no recovery, just plunge, stagnation, and renewed plunge. All right? What he's saying is that the economy's gone down. We know that since 2008. It may stagnate from time to time and seem to be okay, or at least not getting worse dramatically. And then it goes back to falling. It goes back to another renewed plunge, but no recovery. His next bullet point, re-intensifying downturn already underway. He's saying we are in it right now. The sort of information we just talked about from the Baltic Dry Index, that's the kind of, he's saying this isn't just a blip, this isn't an anomaly. The downturn, we've gone through a period of a kind of stagnation when things didn't get dramatically worse. He's saying that the downturn is re-intensifying right now. It's already underway. He doesn't predict how far it's going to go, but we are in another down leg. We're going down again. A confluence of negative surprises. Here he's talking about new business and systemic woes, and they should hit the dollar and spike inflation. He's predicting significant inflation and the dollar diminishing in value. And he uses the phrase confluence of negative surprises. And we've talked about something along those lines more than once in the last 2 weeks. When we talked about we talked about a perfect storm. The idea that three different fronts were combining, if you saw the movie, and to create some extraordinary waves. And the problems were coming from several different directions. And if you only had to deal with one of the problems, you could get by it. And if you only had to deal with two, you could probably get by it. But with three, you can't. Something like that seems to be happening right now. And what we described, again, as this perfect storm, he says, a confluence of negative surprises. His surprises include how things are backfiring on the U.S. in the Ukraine, and the threats to isolate Russia economically will only serve to accelerate the demise of the dollar, or at least decline of the dollar. These are these negative surprises. Nobody's expecting them exactly, but yet they seem to be happening all of a sudden. Hyperinflation to intensify. Unfolding depression. That's his next bullet point. Mr. Williams believes we're going to see an episode of hyperinflation. And that's usually a preliminary sign of the end of a currency. Before we flat out give up on the dollar or any other currency, first, people begin to give up on a little bit, but not completely. And I might have been selling a particular product for $10 yesterday. But if I think we're going into hyperinflation, if I lose confidence in the fiat dollar, I might want $15 today. Yesterday was $10. Today I want $15. I believe the dollar is going to be worthless, but if I get a chance to get $15 instead of $10, I'll still take it. I'm still fool enough to take the dollar. Even though I don't believe it's going to last, I'm still fool enough to take it. All right? But I say, to offset my foolishness, I say, I got to have more. I can't go for $10. I got to have 15. And the people I deal with are likewise. They see the writing on the wall, but they're still going to play the game until everything blows up in their faces. And so they say, well, for the same product, they're selling the product to me, wholesaler. They said, no, we can't sell it to you for $5, so you could sell 10. We've got to sell it to you for $20. And the point is that everyone gets into hyperinflation as a reflection of a rapidly decreasing loss of confidence in the particular currency. That's what hyperinflation is finally about. Say, I won't take $5,000 for my used car, but I'd take 10. Right? I don't have confidence in the money. It's not just an attempt to jack up the prices. It's a reflection of diminishing confidence in the currency. Williams anticipates hyperinflation. He thinks it will intensify this year. He also believes we're going to see an unfolding depression. He thinks we're sliding into that depression. It's not clear to me if Williams expects the depression to be overt and undeniable before the end of this year. But he's predicted for some time that this would be the year when we would begin to see hyperinflation. Now, if he's right about that, it means the price of gold is going to increase dramatically. All right, the value of the dollar is going to fall in the price of gold. If we see hyperinflation, we're going to see the price of gold go up dramatically. Those who have it will be able to at least preserve their wealth. Those who don't will have a hard time affording it. Implication is that if you wanted to protect your wealth, now is a good time and not too much time left necessarily. Assuming John Williams is correct, there may not be much more time available to get in and get some gold now. Wait too long and you won't be able to find it, or even if you can find it, you won't be able to easily afford it. His last bullet point just emphasizes that same point. Gold is a store of wealth and safe haven remains the primary hedge for maintaining purchasing power of wealth and assets. I'm just saying, we are probably headed into a depression. But at the same time, he thinks we'll see hyperinflation. Now, normally, those two concepts don't go together. If you go into a depression, you see deflation. The currency becomes more valuable. But that's true when the currency is a precious metal. It's not true when the currency is a fiat currency of the sort we have right now. It's nothing but paper and ink, ones and zeros on a hard drive. It is the worst of all possible worlds. If what Williams is predicting here is correct, it's the worst of all possible economic worlds. It means we go into a depression where more and more people are unemployed. At the same time, prices are rising due to hyperinflation. You know, it's one thing to go broke when prices are holding steady. All right, you go broke, it's a terrible thing, it's done, but it's to some degree survivable. The price of steak, the price of eggs, the price of orange juice, it stays pretty much the same. Even though you're broke, you may be able to find the money to get yourself a steak dinner with half a dozen eggs and some orange juice.
You have options.
You have options. But if you're unemployed and prices are going up, you got a problem. Even if you have savings, your savings will be diminished more rapidly, because prices are rising. All right, I got enough savings where I could live 10 years, at current prices. But what if prices start doubling every year? All of a sudden, my savings can only carry me for 2 or 3 years. The inflation just puts a plus depression, unemployment. It's absolutely the worst situation you can get into. And that's at least what Williams is implying may be in our near future. What do you think, Melody? Are we going to see hyperinflation or are we going to see deflation? Are we going to see a depression or are we going to see a recovery or maybe just hold where we are?
I mean, no, I think what John Williams is talking and what you have brought is, I believe, you know, what we're going to face. You know, he talks about gold as a store of wealth and a safe haven as a primary hedge for maintaining a purchasing power. And we talk about that all the time on this program. Yeah. You know, we talk about the fundamentals, and it isn't exciting. It isn't fun. It isn't, you know, where you can get hyped up and say, yeah, I got to have it. We do believe prices are going higher, but I believe the fundamentals for gold are so much more important than just a higher price in gold and silver. I mean, yes, that is important. Yes, we are going to have that. That is the gravy. That is the gravy. The underlying, the real issue is maintaining the purchasing power of your wealth and assets. If you don't, you'll lose it all or a very large part of it.
You know, we talked earlier in the program about lies. We got off on that, which is something of an unusual subject. You wouldn't think it has anything to do with economics or finance or preserving your wealth, and yet it does. Because our fiat currency is essentially a lie. And the government understands this, and the vast majority of people don't. That fiat dollar that you have in your pocket is merely a promise to pay. It's not a payment. Everyone thinks they've been paid when they collect some pieces of paper. Say, look, I've got $50,000 in the bank. I've been paid. No, you haven't. You have $50,000 in IOUs. You are not actually paid until you redeem that piece of paper for something tangible. You could buy a car, you could buy a gun, you could buy some food. When you do that, then in theory you're paid. The next guy who ever took that, now he's got to figure out how to get paid. You buy groceries at the grocery store. Okay, now in theory you've been paid. You got something tangible for your work. You worked, you earned $1,000, you take some of the $1,000 and go to the grocery store and you buy $200 worth of groceries. When you get the groceries, you're actually paid. For the $200, you've been effectively paid. But you're not paid while you're just holding those pieces of paper. All you have is a promise to pay. All you have is an IOU. And people accept these pieces of paper as if they are payments, and they're not. And if in so far as we accept those lies, we are going to be disabled. Much the same by a smooth-talking salesman like Barack Obama or anyone else you put in the office. They're going to rob you. They're going to rob you, just like that good salesman, that psychopath who's running the big banks and the rest of that. You're going to be robbed. And for that reason, you do have to be careful of lies. We're out of time. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back next Monday. Have a good weekend. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye. Bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.